Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 30th chapter, text 32. Parijate Anjasa Labdhe Saranga Anyan Nasevate Parangri Mulam Asadya Sakshat Kim Kim Brni Mohi. Parijatenjasa Labdhe Saranganyan Nasevate Tvarangri Mula Masadya Sakshat Kim Kim Brni Mohi. Parijate, the celestial tree known as Parijata, Anjasa, completely, Labdhe, having achieved, Saranga, Abhi, Anyat, other, Nasevate, does not resort to, Tvarangri, your lotus feet, Mulam, the root of everything, Asadya, having approached, Sakshat, directly. Kim, what? Kim, what? Brini Mahi, may we ask? Translation. Dear Lord, when the bee approaches the celestial tree called the Parijata, it certainly does not leave the tree because there is no need for such action. Similarly, when we have approached your lotus feet and taken shelter of them, what further benediction may we ask of you? Please repeat. Dear Lord, when the bee approaches the celestial tree called the Parijata, it certainly does not leave the tree because there is no need for such action. Similarly, when we have approached your lotus feet and taken shelter of them, what further benediction may we ask of you? Purport. When a devotee is actually engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, his engagement in itself is so perfect that there is no need to ask for further benediction. When a bee approaches the Parijata tree, it gets unlimited supplies of honey. There's no need to go to another tree. If one is fixed in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, there is unlimited transcendental bliss, and as such, there is no need to ask for further benediction. The Parijata tree is not commonly found within this material world. The Parijata tree is also known as Kalpa Vriksha, or the wish-fulfilling tree. One can get anything he desires from such a tree. In the material world, one can get oranges from an orange tree or mangoes from a mango tree. But there is no possibility of getting oranges from a mango tree or vice versa. However, one can get whatever he wants from the Parijata tree, oranges, mangoes, bananas, and so on. This tree is found in the spiritual world. Chintamani, Prakara Sadmasu, Kalpa Briksha, Laksha Briteshu. The spiritual world, Chintamani Dham, is surrounded by these Kalpa Briksha trees. But the Parijata tree is also found in the kingdom of Indra, that is, on Indra's heavenly planet. This Parijata tree was brought by Krishna to please Satyabhama, one of his queens. And this tree was implanted in the Dwaraka mansions constructed for the queens. The lotus feet of the Lord are exactly like the Parijata trees, or wish-fulfilling trees, and the devotees are like bumblebees. They are always attracted by the lotus feet of the Lord. Oma jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militan jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So after hearing this verse and the purport, you're all devotees, just like the prachetas who are offering this prayer, they are devotees. We are also devotees. Well, what do you feel after hearing this? What is the main thing that you feel? Can anyone say? Would anyone like to say? Well, what I feel is that I am not like the bumblebee that has approached the Parijata tree and therefore does not want to or has no need to go anywhere else. I am not that kind of devotee. Of course, you may not feel that way. And you may be also on that same platform as the party, as the prachetas, I don't know. But generally, devotees who are engaged in the practice of Krishna consciousness under regulative principles, they would naturally feel that way, inadequate. Here's a description of such a devotee. That besides the engagement in devotional service at the lotus feet of the Lord, he has no desire for anything else. Nothing else would enter his mind. Just like, for example, every morning, especially in morning, we sit down to chant japa. Very simple, anyone can chant, even a child can chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Very simple. Srila Prabhupada recommended that while we are chanting japa, we should simply hear with attention the mantra. Don't try to think of anything. But Prabhupada explained if your tongue is engaged in chanting and your ears are engaged in hearing, then the mind is captured. The whole idea is that besides simply chanting, one's mind should be fully absorbed in the chanting of Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada would say any two senses, when fully engaged, captures the mind. And there's also the third sense of touch as we are fingering the beads. So it is recommended that one chant attentively by hearing clearly the Hare Krishna mantra. But as we sit down to chant, how attentively can we hear? How long can we simply be satisfied to hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna? Or when does our mind think of something else? Of course, I don't know about you. Maybe you sit down to chant 16 rounds from the first Hare to the last Hare. Maybe your mind only hears that sound of Hare Krishna and nothing else. But for me, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then after a very short time, I'm thinking, oh, I must do this. Oh, I would like to do that. Oh, I remember that. So in that way, I am not like the bumblebee who has come to the Parijata tree and has no desire to go elsewhere, or like the Prachetas are praying, having surrendered unto your lotus feet, having seen your lotus feet, and after engaging in the devotional service at your lotus feet, what more or what other thing could we think of asking? So here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada has described the Parijata tree as being a kalpa briksha. There's a kind of tree that you can get anything from that tree. So of course this is maybe very astonishing for us. This is not within our experience. But we should not judge everything according to our own experience. Srila Prabhupada would again and again and again give the logic, Manduka Kupanyaya, the logic of the frog in the well. Those who think that all of reality must be just in terms of his own experience, such a person is like a frog in the well. His well is just a tiny 6 feet of water. How can he imagine the extent of the Pacific Ocean? So every morning when we sing prayers to the Lord, we sing a prayer that is a little bit similar to the idea of the kalpa briksha tree that can give anything asked of it. Something about the senses of the Lord and the senses of a liberated soul, especially the senses of the Lord. We sing this every morning when we greet the deities. Although the kalpa briksha tree is not at all like the trees of this world, the senses of the Lord also are not at all like our senses. Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti. While greeting the deities, we sing. Angani yasya, the senses of the Lord, sakalendriya vrittimanti. Each sense can perform the activities of all the senses. It is said that the Lord impregnates the material nature with all of the conditioned souls simply by glancing over the material nature. So simply by the glance, the Lord can impregnate. Of course, it's fortunate that we don't have this power, otherwise every girl we looked at might become pregnant. So, here it is alluded to that the Parijata tree is found, or the Kalpa Vriksha tree is found in the spiritual world. But it is also in the planet of Indra. And here it is mentioned that once Krishna took one of his queens, Satyabhama, to Indraloka, and there she took the Parijata tree and brought it back to Dwaraka. So this story is referred to briefly in the Bhagavatam, but it is told more elaborately in the Vishnu Purana. First, I ask you, actually Krishna had promised Satyabhama, don't worry, I'll give you a whole Parijata tree. Does anyone know why Krishna had to make this promise? Yes. Yes, very good. Once, actually he didn't give, Narad Muni had brought a Parijata flower and given to Rukmini. So Satyabhama felt very jealous, she was very disturbed. Unfortunately, this is the nature of women generally, of course not devotee women, but women in general tend to be very jealous. So Satyabhama, she was very upset how this queen was favored over her. So Krishna appeared as an ordinary human being. Of course, he acted in a way that's not at all ordinary, but still it is said, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the absolute truth, the cause of all causes, to execute the purpose of the demigods, he appeared as an ordinary human being. Even Srila Prabhupada has said that except for a very few, no one could recognize that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in Dwaraka he acted like a householder, like a henpecked husband. So Satyabhama was upset. So Krishna fell at her feet to pacify her and promised, don't worry, the time will come when we'll be able to get a whole Parijata tree. So how is it that he didn't just immediately take Satyabhama to Indraloka, but this was a part of his pastimes? So what led to Krishna going to Indraloka with Satyabhama? Why did Krishna go? Of course he went to get the Parijata tree, but there was another reason. Yes, he wanted to return Aditi's earrings, which had been stolen by Narakasura. So just previous to Krishna going to Indraloka, Indra had come to Dwaraka riding upon Airavata, his elephant carrier, and he complained to Krishna, oh my lord, we're being very oppressed by Narakasura. He is forcibly taking the daughters of the demigods, great sages and kings, and imprisoning them, and he is stealing so many things. He took Maniparvat, a peak of Mount Mandara made of jewels, which is a playground of the demigods. He took Varuna's umbrella. He took Aditi's earrings. Now he wants to take my elephant carrier. Please, you have to do something about him. So Krishna thought of Garuda. Garuda came instantly. Didn't have to call on his mobile. Hello, Garuda. I want to go to kill Narakasura. Could you please come here? All right. Traffic is heavy, so it may take me more than an hour. So Garuda instantly appeared. And Krishna wanted to take his adventurous, he's described as adventurous wife, Satyabhama. Some women just are satisfied to stay at home, sweep the floor, cook some chapatis and boil the rice, and watch TV. But Satyabhama was not like that. She wanted to go out and experience some adventure. So Krishna said, okay, get on Garuda, let's go. So Krishna went to Pragjyotishapur, the city of Narakasura. Narakasura was the son of the earth and Krishna. How is that? Does anyone know that? You know everything. Why are you? Why am I sitting here? You should be sitting here. Okay, how is that? I can't hear you. Yes, yes. Yeah, when Lord Varaha lifted up the earth, at that time, the earth conceived the son of Lord Varaha, Narakasura. It's not that the Lord lifted up the earth and then they went to some secluded place and had sexual relations. Again, Angani Yasha Shakalendriya Vrittimanti. Simply the Lord lifted up the earth, but by his association and the will of the Lord, she gave birth to the Narakasura. So Krishna killed Narakasura. And then Mother Earth came and gave back Aditi's earrings and the other things that her naughty son had stolen. So Krishna set out on Garuda to Indraloka. So Krishna returned Aditi's earrings and everyone was very happy and respectful. But then as Krishna and Satyabhama were taking a little tour of the heavenly planets in Nandana garden, they saw the Parijata tree Satyabhama wanted, and Krishna had already promised, okay, take. But at this, the guards were upset. They went and informed Indra. So Indra came, you can't take this. There was a fight. Then finally, okay. You take it to Dwaraka, and after the conclusion of your pastimes, after your disappearance, the Parijata tree will also return to my abode. So, there's, I don't know about in India, but in Nepal there's a flower they call Parijata. Is there a flower in India they call Parijata? But of course it's not really Parijata. So, as practicing sincere devotees, we should very much aspire that when will I become like the bumblebee that has approached the Parijata flower and is getting unlimited honey, so there is no need to ask for anything else. Lord Chaitanya, he didn't write any books, but he left us the Shikshastaka, 8 verses, and these are also in a progressive manner. The first, Chaito Darpana Marjanam Pram Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. First is, let us accept the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. It will cleanse the heart of all impurities, and it will put out the fire, the forest fire of material miseries. Then in the second verse, Lord Chaitanya prays, Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shaktis tatrarpita niyamita smarane nakala etadrishi tavakripa bhagavan mamapi durdaivam idrishamiha janina anuraga. I am so unfortunate, durdaiva. I am so unfortunate, na anuraga. I have no attachment for chanting the holy name of the Lord. Then the third verse, Trinarapi sumichena, Tororapi sahishnuna, Amanina, Manadena, Kirtaniya sadahare. When you are in this consciousness, feeling yourself lower than the straw in the street, when you are more tolerant than the tree never objects, even while being cut down, the tree never objects, so tolerant. Not expecting any respect for yourself, but ready to give all respect for others, to others, Kirtaniya sada hari. At that time, you'll be able to continually chant the holy name of the Lord. Sounds very exalted position, and it is. Which one of us thinks of ourselves as being lower than the straw in the street? No. And yet it is the only third of eight. Just imagine the exalted position beyond that. Just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while touring South India, he came to the shore of the Godavari River and met Ramananda Roy. And they had discussions. Lord Chaitanya put questions, and Ramananda Roy gave answers. Well, I must say that these are all discussed in Srila Prabhupada's books. This is in Srila Prabhupada's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. If we hope to come to the platform of spontaneous devotional service, where we will only like to be in Krishna consciousness and not like any other kind of consciousness, then we had better absorb our minds in reading and discussing and understanding Srila Prabhupada's books along with the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy, please recite a verse from Shastra which indicates life's ultimate goal. Everyone has some goal of life. For most people, it appears the goal of life is to earn as much money as possible before dying. But Ramananda Roy didn't say that. Oh, the goal of life, earn as much money as possible. No, he was already beginning from a higher platform. He said one should follow the Varnashram, duties of the Varnashram system, quoting from Vishnu Purana, because only by executing the duties within Varnashram, only in that way can Lord Vishnu be pleased. But Lord Chaitanya rejected that. Ikibhaya. This is external. I want to hear something better. So even Ramananda Rai, he quoted Sarvadharman Parichaja, Mamekam Sharanam Braja. Lord Chaitanya also wanted to hear something more than this. Lord Chaitanya was only satisfied when Ramananda Rai quoted a verse spoken by Lord Brahma, a prayer of Brahma, saying basically that give up all speculation, remain in whatever position you are in, but hear from an authorized advanced devotee of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya said, yes, this is very good. So Prabhupada explains, this is the beginning. Then Lord Chaitanya wanted to hear more, better and better. And he was only satisfied when he heard about the love of the gopis for Krishna in conjugal rasa, madhurya rasa. So we should inquire that how in my durdaiva condition, unfortunate condition, how can I come to the position where I will actually relish my chanting of japa, where I will actually want to keep myself absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna. So this has to be accomplished gradually. One must be patient, but one must adopt the method, at least keep the mind always engaged in this way. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, there is description of three kinds of happiness. There's happiness in the mode of goodness, happiness in the mode of passion, and happiness in the mode of ignorance. Happiness in the mode of goodness, because after all, we are trying to elevate ourselves from the lowest platform, tamogun, at least to sattvagun, and then to the transcendental position. So in this, Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, yattad agre vishamiva parinam emritopamam. Tatsukam satikam smritam. That such happiness in the beginning, it is like poison. And only with time and practice does it become like amrita, nectar. Material happiness, that it's happiness derived of joining the senses with their objects, vishayendriya samyogat, yattar agre mrittopamam pariname vishamiva. Tatsukam rajasam smritam. That kind of happiness, in the beginning it is like amrita. But by continuing, it becomes like poison. But happiness in the mode of goodness is in the beginning like poison. The conditioned soul is accustomed to the bodily conception of life, which means engagement in sense gratification for experiencing such temporary happiness, chapala sukha. When he wants to elevate himself to the platform of pure Krishna consciousness, he has to restrict himself. Rise early in the morning, attend Mangalarati, sit down and chant 16 rounds of japa, attend Srimad Bhagavatam class, and then engage in service throughout the day. So for such a conditioned soul, in the beginning it is like poison. How is it so? A question I often ask myself and sometimes ask others. Again, the same verse of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Statrarpita. My Lord, you have invested all of your Shakti, all of your potency in your holy name. Abhinattam Nami Namino. Nama Namino. The holy name of Krishna is not different from Krishna, it is directly Krishna. All of Krishna's potency is there. Then why, when we chant Krishna, 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 why we don't feel some overwhelming ecstasy? Of course, there's descriptions in the Bhagavatam and other places everywhere in the Shastra. When Krishna appears, as he is appearing before the Prachetas, then the devotee becomes overwhelmed just by seeing Krishna. The sight is overwhelming. Nothing else can be perceived as have any significance. It's overwhelming. Then why, when we chant Hare Krishna, we are not overwhelmed? Well, the answer simply is because we are in a diseased condition. Prabhupada gives the example of jaundice. When you have jaundice, I don't know what you say in Hindi, jaundice. But at least in old times, the only cure is this sugar candy. You take sugar candy and then the condition of the liver is gradually cured. But while you're diseased and you eat the sugar candy, it doesn't taste sweet. Actually, sugar is sweet. Sugar can only be sweet, nothing else. But for a person with jaundice, it tastes bitter. So similarly, the holy name of Krishna is very sweet, but because we are in the diseased, materially conditioned of life, when we chant Hare Krishna, we don't feel. We become healthy, then we will feel the ecstasy of chanting the holy name of the Lord. So this is only due to offenses or due to a material attachment. So if we want to come to this platform, we must try to always keep our mind absorbed in Krishna Katha, and we must try to avoid the 10 offenses to chanting the holy name of the Lord. All right, thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. Is there a microphone? Coming.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, then the anarthas which we have, I am feeling it, that those are forcing me to do something. I don't want to do, but they are forcing me. And I know there is a bad consequence of it. Since I am being trapped inside that, I am being pushed from one side. And from other side I am feeling, oh, it's not good, but I don't have strength to... But, so... And it leads to offense.
Well, it's a fact that under the three modes of material nature, we are forced to act helplessly. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. So that force will continue as long as we are in the conditioned state. But now we have been given the practice of Krishna consciousness. So against that force, we must strongly engage in devotional service. It is only when devotional service is engaged in very, very strongly that this force of the waves of material nature will act upon us less and less. So the only solution is to engage with more determination and engage with more strength and pray to Krishna. There's a devotee, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Bhagwat Das. Now he's Bhagwat Maharaj. But he once asked Prabhupada a similar question. So Srila Prabhupada had given the example that in the Shastra it says that this material existence is like a great ocean, Bhava Sagara. It's a great ocean of birth and death. But we are situated on the boat of Krishna consciousness. And the spiritual master is the expert captain of the ship, and the Vedic instructions are the favorable breezes which can take us to the shore. But the boat is rocking due to the waves of material nature. So Bhagwat Das was asking Srila Prabhupada that how is it that he's feeling the rocking is too much, he will fall into the ocean. How can we keep on the boat? So Prabhupada just said that of course the waves of the material nature, they will rock you. You cannot expect the ocean to be smooth like glass. But as long as you are situated on the ship, and as long as you are being guided by the spiritual master, then you will not fall in. So that is could not expect immediately. Prabhupada would give the example of a girl may get married and want a child, but she cannot be so impatient. It takes time. You cannot just get married and the next day you've got a child. So in the same way, you have to be patient. You must go on executing Krishna consciousness to the best of our ability. And in due course of time, the material nature's effect will subside and our Krishna conscious life will unfold. But it's a question of strength. Tibrena bhakti yogena. There's a nice verse in Bhagavatam. Doesn't matter. Akama sarvakama va moksha kama udharadi tibrena bhakti yogena yajaita purusha param. You may have all kinds of material desires. Or you may have no desires, or you may have the desire for liberation, but if you're smart, broad-minded, then you will strongly engage in Krishna consciousness. Well, I just say as a final thing, it is my practical experience that in material life, everything is a struggle. And everything is very frustrating and boring, actually. Nothing is satisfying. If our mind is absorbed in the material circumstances, we are naturally going to be under the control of material nature. But at every moment, we have the choice. Just like suppose you're driving in a car to some preaching engagement or to meet someone. You're stuck in traffic or you're going along. There's always our choice. We can just be looking out the window or dreaming of something, or we can be chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So we have to force ourselves. That is intelligence. Intelligence can direct us this way or that. So by intelligence we must chant Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, you see, even when he's traveling on a long airplane ride, and his servant would always say, you'd always see him with his hand in his bead bag chanting, chanting, chanting. Any other questions?
For many devotees, it may not be a quality chanting if done in 16 rounds in one go. So is it advisable to break down the sets of 2 or 3 rounds throughout the day and complete 16 over a day?
Well, the thing is, you should chant 16 rounds every day. The best time is early in the morning. But of course, if for some reason that is too difficult, you finish any time.
In broken pattern, after 2-3 rounds we stop.
Yes, you can chant 8 rounds in the morning, then you can chant 2 rounds after breakfast, chant 2 more rounds on your way to work. Yeah. Okay. Prabhupada didn't say chant 16 rounds early in the morning, he said chant 16 rounds every day, somehow or other. But the best time is early in the morning. Can you give the microphone back here?
Hari Om. How do you differentiate between right actions and wrong actions? And is there a neutral action? Like, are there neutral actions?
Say that again, a little slower.
How can you differentiate between right actions and wrong actions?
A right action and wrong action.
Yeah. And is there neutral actions, like where there is no sin?
Neutral action. Well, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the, I believe it's 16th chapter, the divine and demoniac natures, Krishna says that the asura, they don't know what is to do and what is not to be done. They don't know. So that is the condition of modern society. People don't know what should I do, what's right to do, what's wrong to do. So the answer is simple. Whatever God says you should do, that is right. And whatever God says, don't do that, that is wrong action. What is religion or dharma? Dharmantu shakshad bhagavat pranitam. What God has said, that is religion. You cannot manufacture, oh, I think this is right or this is wrong. You have to, so how to know what God, that if you really want to know, you must go to someone who knows what God has said. Tasmad gurum prapadeta jigyasu shreya uttamam. Go to someone who's real guru, bona fide guru, representative of Krishna. He'll tell you this is right action, this is wrong action. You understand? Okay.
One more question.
Okay.
We are all devotees, and if someone does a wrong action in front of us, do we have to punish them or do we just look aside and walk?
Are you the police?
No, but...
Are you the king? If devotee does wrong action, did you say, or just anyone?
Anyone.
Well, that's not a simple answer, but if you want to punish everyone for wrong actions, you'll be a busy man. Because there's wrong actions everywhere, at every minute, by everyone. You'll be fully engaged.
So wait.
So, of course, you should try to correct others, especially those who are dependent upon you. Your wife, your children. You should not be so eager to correct those who are in a superior position. So, The danger is that if you become too much in the mood of correcting others, then you might become what is called a fault finder, just looking for the faults of others. Better to find the faults in your own self and try to correct that than try to correct others. First become situated in an elevated position, then try to correct others. Actually, there's so much fault in everything. The best way to correct others is just invite them, come to the temple, read this Bhagavad Gita, and chant Hare Krishna. Instead of punishing them or correcting them, give them the means to understand what is right.
In this verse, you mentioned that the bumblebee is incessantly enjoying the Parijata flower and it doesn't need to go anywhere else. In that connection, the devotee also approaches the Lord. Some devotees approach him for protection. Is that the light also shared in this verse, or it's only that the devotee enjoys a lot under his shelter, so protection is a thing which is included within it? Is protection a separate thing, or enjoyment itself is?
Well, the thing is, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says four kinds of people approach me. Chaturvidha bhajante mam. Jana sukratino arjuna. Arto jigyasur. Artarti gyanicha. Bharatarsabha. So one may approach the Lord for some material purpose. I have no money. My God, I'm suffering. Please give me money. Or, like you say, my enemy is harassing me. Oh Lord, please give me a weapon so I can kill. This is many stories in the Puranas. The demigods are oppressed by a great demon, so they go to Lord Shiva or Lord Vishnu. So Lord Vishnu says, okay, take here this invincible trident. You'll be able to defeat the demons like that. So the thing is, in the beginning, one may approach the Lord for some purpose, but when one actually becomes purified so that he is always in Krishna consciousness, then he will understand that there's no need for asking for anything else.
All right, thank you, Hare Krishna.